Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Revelation 13, verse 16. He, the Antichrist, required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. The Bible says, up in verse 7, and the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. The Bible tells about a coming one world leader who it refers to as Antichrist, who is going to be a one world ruler with a one world government, one world money system, one world military, one world religion. In the secular world, they call it globalism. Any attempt you see to shift in that direction, the Bible says it doesn't come from heaven, it comes from hell. So if there's going to be, let's take one aspect of that today. If there's going to be a one world ruler with a one world government, then there can't be strong, sovereign, independent nations. Which is why Lester Sumrall used to say that America is the last domino that has to fall to bring this to pass, and why America's worth fighting for. What is behind this attempt to collapse the borders of the United States of America? And who's to resist it? What is keeping back the Antichrist from his work? The Bible says he can't do what he wants until he who is standing in the way is removed. The he who's standing in the way is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a planned demolition of the American church from within. I wrote about it in my book, Understanding the World in Light of Bible Prophecy, which really, I feel a renewed passion. It's not my newest book. I don't think it's my second newest book or my third newest book, but I feel a renewed passion to get this in the hands of every believer, because you'll see you won't be easily manipulated. The planned demolition of the American church from within. I think this is going to be one of the broadcasts we do that you enjoy the most. If you would share it, I would appreciate it. The planned demolition of the church, chapter 4 of this book is entitled An Attack from Within. 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 8. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding the Antichrist back. For he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly and will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. The Bible, that's referring to the church. Finis Dake in his notes said there's only three options there. What's holding him back? Governments? No, because there will still be human governments when the Antichrist is here. Government? No. The Holy Spirit? No, because people are going to be saved in mass after the rapture, after the church leaves the earth. No, the one who's holding him back is the church. I want you to write that word down, the restrainer. The Bible, hey Missy, our first ministry partner, Missy McConaughey, still with us all these years later, well, now 12 years. Good to see you on the app, good to see you on YouTube, good to see you on Facebook, and on X, which is ever growing, and I'm happy about that. So part of the job of the church is to be a restrainer. Why can't you people just preach the gospel? Our only job is not just to preach the gospel. I mean, politics aside, the church has more of a job than just to preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus saves. Well, then once people get saved, they're to be discipled. The Bible says, I shrank not back from declaring the full counsel of God's word. You don't just preach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel, a little bit out of Acts. You preach the whole Bible. The Bible talks about marriage. The Bible talks about finances. The Bible talks about raising children, sexuality, everything that affects life. It's a handbook for life. And then number two, you've been made to feel like in this generation that if you do anything to get involved, to push back against the spirit of the world, that you've kind of like left Christianity. Well, we're just supposed to preach the gospels, stay out of politics. What can I get involved in that's not political? You've politicized marriage. You've politicized everything. You've politicized, you're starting to get involved in taking offering money from churches if they refuse to do gay marriages. So don't tell me to stay out of politics. We have a job to restrain. The church is a restraining force against this wicked spirit called the Antichrist spirit. Speaking, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. That's referring to the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. Do you ever wonder what's behind, you know, take the border, for instance. There's nothing new that has to be done to seal the border except enforce existing laws. But our current administration is an administration of lawlessness. And you have a growing number of politicians in this country that are lawless. They stand up for shoplifters and prosecute security. They stand up for criminals and prosecute police. The man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the splendor of his coming. The Bible teaches that something is restraining the Antichrist. God is not on the devil's clock. The devil runs on God's clock. The devil doesn't get to pick when the tribulation begins or when the Antichrist takes power. This is why you can look throughout history and see that the devil has always needed an Antichrist at the ready, because God is the one that pulls the strings, not Satan. So I've covered this, that the church is the restrainer. So I'm going to skip the part where I prove that the church is the restrainer, because I want to get into the planned. The title of this chapter is An Attack from Within, and I'm starting with this on the planned demolition of the American church from within. There's an attempt of the devil to, like a cancer, destroy the church from the inside. The two factors fueling the planned demolition from within the church that we will cover in this chapter are critical race theory and George Soros. Critical race theory. I'm going to skip that for the sake of time. I'm going to send this book to everybody who sows a seed of any size today. Of course, we feed 5,000 children a day, among other things. Good to see you on Long Island. Now that you see how accreditation weakens the church through the training of ministers. Now, I want to deal with this. The planned demolition of the American church from within. Why is your pastor unwilling at your church to talk about biblical sexuality, marriage? I want you guys to find something for me in the media room, if you would. I meant to find this and I got distracted this morning. There's a Pew Research poll, percentage of people by denomination that feel homosexuality should be accepted as normal. This is in denominations. I remember it was 22% for Church of God. They were the best. The best was the Church of God, that 22% of their adherents believed homosexuality should be accepted as normal. That's more than one in five. And then Assemblies of God was 26%. That's more than one in four. How did this happen all of a sudden? Well, you have to go to seminary, right? And seminaries started to want federal scholarship money so that they could charge higher tuition prices. So you have to become accredited with the state or with a national body. Those accreditation groups require a large percentage of your faculty to have a master's or doctorate. Where are you going to go to get a master's or doctorate in divinity or theology? You are going to go to a school with liberal professors, with very liberal professors. There's almost nowhere you can go where that wouldn't be the case, and I'm not overstating that. So you have an Assemblies of God Bible School or a Church of God Bible School like Lee University, the Church of God main school, had like major trouble on campus. From critical race theory, Assemblies of God schools, major Black Lives Matter movements on campus. Why? because the government couldn't take the school over from the outside. So they made rules where, okay, keep your school, but I'm going to make the rules where we control your professors, because your professors have to meet these requirements. And in order to meet these requirements, they have to spend 12 years in a communist indoctrination center known as an American university. Anybody that's watching, hold it for a second. Anybody that's watching, go to a Bible college and able to back up what I'm saying, that you had professors there that mocked the inerrancy of Scripture, promoted critical race theory, promoted communist ideals, promoted open borders. That's how it went. It was a process to destroy it. Let me see the graph full screen. Views about homosexuality by religious groups. I cannot see that from here. That's not it, because it just has the one I have has Assemblies of God and Church of God and denominations broken into it. So keep looking. Take your time. Just signal me on the screen when you have it. You know, I went to a Bible college that was a Pentecostal school that then affiliated with the Assemblies of God during the end of my stay. They were clearing out every book by T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, anything on faith, anything on healing. Where did that come from? It's a plan. That's right, Cindy. It's a plan to destroy it from within. So when you hear a Bible college brag that they're accredited, we're an accredited university. That's like it's like bragging that your car doesn't have any working brakes. And I see everybody weighing in on the comments how you saw that happen at all kinds of schools. It's not for one denomination or one school. Let's look at the destructive. And then what? Why did all your Bible colleges shut down during the lockdowns? Well, we wanted to stay open, but we would lose our accreditation. So now, in becoming accredited, you're controlled by the outside. Let's look at the destructive influence of leftists such as George Soros and others. Listen to this now. Well-funded evangelicals supported by George Soros-funded pro-immigrant groups are rewriting the Bible. By the way, when did I write this? What's the copyright on it? 2023, and I think it's from broadcasts that I did in 2021. So this is not in reaction to open borders. I was writing this ahead of time. Well-funded evangelicals supported by George Soros, pro-immigrant groups, are rewriting the Bible. They are redefining how American Christians understand concepts like immigration, borders, and nations. Critical race theory in universities has made its way into Bible translators. They actually believe the Bible is not inclusive enough and needs to be retranslated to make it more inclusive. I believe you should just read in the original language and then translate accordingly. That's what I said. According to a September 23rd, 2019 article in Pulpit and Pen, these groups, okay, so I have this cited. You know what? I actually texted the author this morning and he said he was going to get back to me. I want to get this article. So it's cited number 3 in the footnotes. Interesting. I'll keep reading. According to a September 23rd, 2019 article in Pulpit and Pen, these groups manipulate evangelicals through pious-sounding platitudes and exploitations of biblical ignorance. Surveys show evangelicals don't read their Bibles very often. It makes it easier to deceive them. Most people in the pews aren't aware of the ancient languages or the historical context of antiquity. It is the general ignorance that allows a Southern Baptist PhD to claim that Jesus was a so-called illegal immigrant. As we've pointed out, Jesus wasn't an illegal immigrant. Jesus wasn't a refugee. You know what? Let me get this article. I'll tell you what it is because it's cited in here. Are George Soros rented evangelicals trying to rewrite the Bible? Pulpitandpen.org. September 23rd, 2019. Are George Soros rented evangelicals trying to rewrite the Bible? Pulpit and Pen. See if you can get it for me. Jesus would not meet the legal definition spelled out in international law as a refugee. Yet this is how big evangelicalism operates. They are fast and loose with the facts. Narrative trumps detail. And after all, Snopes would rate these progressive claims true in spirit, if not in fact. What won't surprise anyone paying attention is that well-funded groups and big evangelical itself are promoting new ways to view scripture. More often than not, the lens of identity politics is coloring how so-called conservative evangelical leaders and professors interpret and teach the Bible. That's the end of the quote from the article. It threatens how we translate the Bible, and it threatens how we understand the Bible. There is special knowledge for special people based on their skin color, according to this view. This is the rise of ethnic Gnosticism, and it's dangerous. Now, I think this is still the article because I'm not smart enough to write something like that. According to scholars, including one panel discussion held at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, one's ethnicity and background speaks into how we read the text. Here are two explicit examples from the panel discussion about how ethnic values are distorting a plain understanding of the text. Professor Miguel Echeverria explained how his ethnic background shaped his reading of the Bible. Quote, I noticed as a Cuban, a Latino, my background was really shaping the things I was seeing in the text. A Wheaton College professor, Dr. Danny Carroll, attacked the idea that there would only be one universal biblical theology. Quote, in a meeting where I was being questioned by the head of an institution, Dr. Carroll said, we were talking about Latin American evangelical theology. Here was the question. Isn't there only one biblical theology? And I said, well, who gets to decide what that is? Americans? Someone is making decisions about what can be and what can be out, what can be in and what can be out. The text should be making those decisions. This isn't a battle over the inspiration of Scripture, nor sufficiency, but the doctrine of the perspicuity of Scripture in the Bible is clear and understandable by all, or only some based on their skin color or sex. Do some believers possess special knowledge, or does the Holy Spirit illuminate all? Is one's level of oppression the true arbiter of one's understanding of biblical text? Charles Hodges declared, the Bible is a plain book. The belief that one's oppression score gives someone special insight into the text is dangerous. It overturns the evangelical commitment to the clarity of Scripture. For the sake of time, I'm going to skip down. These individuals from Wheaton are chipping away at the inerrancy of Scripture, claiming that Scripture has been interpreted by whatever culture it was translated in. So you notice, you can take my book off the screen, just me. I'm not doing a book sale. So you have to go after the inerrancy of Scripture. That's why every major denomination that's not backslidden has as their number one tenet of faith the inerrancy of the Bible. Once you start messing with this and say black people can have an interpretation of the Bible and this speaks to me as an Asian, you're finished. The Bible is written to all men, and it's written very plain. These individuals from Wheaton are chipping away at the inerrancy of Scripture, claiming that Scripture has been interpreted by whatever culture it was translated in. If you heard that a pastor has a doctorate from Wheaton, idiots would be impressed. But now after reading this, one will say, yikes, everything is backward. By the way, Wheaton allows drinking on campus now. There are Pentecostal Bible colleges where the worship teams play Michael Jackson cover songs for school dances. But of course, they didn't have dances in 2020 or 2021 because of COVID. They have totally secularized holy institutions. So I know I'm sending a lot of information your way, but I hope you're catching this. Knowing that these once esteemed theological universities are overrun with rank liberals, now when you hear somebody has a PhD in divinity from Harvard, what do you, wow. No, you should go, because it shows that they went through the mill. And they know how to twist the scripture to propagate liberal political positions as biblical. I'm going to skip down more. George Soros funds the Open Society Foundation. I want you to catch this connection. George Soros funds the Open Society Foundation. This is similar to how you won't see a rich person directly funding someone running for a political position. Instead, they use a corporation or a nonprofit, and they pour their money into that organization, which then gives the money to the political candidate. That's what's happening to Christianity right now. George Soros funnels billions of dollars to fund the Open Society Foundation, working toward dissolving the sovereignty of nations, particularly the United States, and to fund the evangelical immigration table. All right, I want you to catch this connection. I want you to write this down. George Soros, who's a multi-billionaire, if not trillion, he puts money into Open Society, among other things, to do away with borders. Open Society funds the evangelical immigration table. This is important because it's going to go through the rest of this teaching today. This is all connected. This is all fact. It's not hearsay. You can go on their websites and see who funds them. So, any minister that you see in the evangelical immigration table, can you look up? There's also an organization called the ERLC. Can you let me know what that is, either in the comments or on the screen? ERLC, it's evangelical something. So someone in the comments said Soros has been funding the caravans since Obama. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about ERLC, not RELC. Why did evangelical churches, this mess that we're in at the border, that's it. The Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. It's also Soros funded. Why did churches that used to be pro-borders, all of a sudden did their leaders start telling you that as a Christian, Jesus was an immigrant, and we should be accepting of all immigrants. People are looking for a better life, you know, caring for the least of these. Where did that change come from all of a sudden? This is where George Soros funds Open Society, which funds the evangelical immigration table. So if somebody's on, you know, if I'm some idiot minister and they say, Jonathan, we would like you to be on the evangelical immigration table to talk about solutions for immigration. I don't realize it's a Soros-funded group because I'm not sitting with George Soros. You never meet him. But where is that group getting their money from? You know, when you go to meet as a minister somewhere, who's paying for the hotel ballroom you're meeting at? Who catered the lunch? Who's putting this thing on? And where are they getting their money from? And then I want to throw this in while I'm on the subject. As churches that have backslidden, United Presbyterian Church, United Methodist Church, on down the line, churches that have gone against the Bible, I want you to answer this. Have their attendances gone up or down? Way down. So where are they going to get their money from? Because it sure isn't going to come from offerings. There's no tithing or offerings being given. So it's forcing those old mainline denominations to start looking for funding outside of the church. And they're being used. It's a trade-off. We'll give you money to use your platform as a respected evangelical church to promote things that are in line with the Antichrist agenda. One world government, one world leader, open borders, one world money system, etc. The Washington Post recently reported that a minister told Nancy Pelosi, America is better for your prophetic leadership. Prophetic means Holy Ghost inspired, which her leadership is clearly not. Why do you have high profile leaders in the church selling out to push vaccines or making their church a vaccination center or siding with Nancy Pelosi and calling her a prophetic leader? It sometimes serves the evangelical immigration table funded by George Soros. Shocker. Can you see it now? When you wonder why your favorite high-profile preacher starts making comments in favor of gay marriage or telling you that you need to get the vaccine, now you know why. You can see where people get their funding from, and you can see they have to bark to their masters. Their masters are wealthy, left-siding people who invest billions of dollars into evangelical organizations and people that promote LGBTQ and transgender interests. An example of this is the Hobby Lobby lawsuit from 2012. Hobby Lobby challenged the 2012 Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act because they would have been required to provide contraceptives and abortions for their employees, which violated their beliefs as Christians. The group that gathered signatures against Hobby Lobby, demanding they provide contraceptives to employees, and held a vigil outside of the headquarters after Hobby Lobby won the lawsuit, was left-funded Christian group called Faithful America. So you get, again, the planned demolition of the American church from within. So you now have Soros-funded groups inside of the church. It's not Democrats attacking from outside. They've now funded groups inside that you get called out by other ministers. In 2020, Faithful America, a pro-choice Christian group, opposed a Supreme Court justice nominee who was confirmed pro-life. Why? I just traced for you in print where their funding comes from. Whether you see a minister on CNN or MSNBC promoting LGBTQ agenda and mass vaccination, check to see what boards they sit on. Then check who the boards of those organizations receive their funding from, and it will all make sense. Did you know that North Central University from the Assemblies of God, their president, who I heard he stepped down, had a George Floyd scholarship at the school? You know, it's all in print. Then check who the boards of these organizations are receiving their funding from, and it will all make sense. The plan is to make the church look like a so-called right-wing hate group and make the pro-LGBTQ, pro-open borders, pro-abortion heretics appear to be the church. Thanks to this funding, preachers of the past won't be considered preachers anymore. They'll be considered anti-LGBTQ, hate-mongering bigots. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last days, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teaching that comes from demons. The planned demolition of the American church from within. So I want to show you what's going on. I want to make you aware because I reference this stuff sometimes in sermons. But people don't have the full picture of what I'm talking about. And Sunday morning isn't necessarily the place to get into it, but I want to get into it here. The planned demolition of the American church from within. I'm going to go just with media that I sent to our team that I want to show you. Let's take the first one. Follow the Money to the After Party by Megan Basham, who's doing a great job at this. She's got a book coming out called Evangelicals for Rent in July. I'd like to have her on as a live guest whenever it would fit her schedule. Let me read the article. How many slides? Let me go full screen. Secular news outlets from NPR to the New York Times are hailing Tim Alberta's new book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, for furthering the popular thesis that evangelicals have abandoned themselves to political idolatry. By political idolatry, they mean political conservatism, as neither Alberta's book nor the many prestige outlets enthusing over it, have a word of criticism for Christians who advance left-wing causes. However, back to me real quick. Did you ever notice that? When they tell you not to get political, nobody ever tells church groups that promote left-wing ideology not to get political. They're never criticized in the media. The only people that are criticized are groups that promote Bible things. The right to life. Anti-abortion. Bible marriage. Oh, you should stay out of that. But then the groups that undercut marriage, that stick up for abortion, that stick up for LGBTQIA+, they are never told not to get political. Do you know why? We are a massive voting bloc in this country. As much as the evil groups that are looking to take America out, as much as they've made progress, they can only make progress to a point because there's this certain thing that's standing in the way that they can't do what they want with it standing in the way. So they have to get the church to stop being the Bible church. That's where Christian nationalism comes from. That's why shaming you for getting involved in politics or talking about money. Have your services, but stay out of our planned demolition of America. And I want you to never feel bad about speaking out for what's right. Don't be obnoxious, but be vocal. Let me continue with the article. Alberta Points reports on the After Party, a forthcoming program led by Duke Divinity consulting professor Curtis Chang and developed with New York Times columnist David French and Christianity Today editor-in-chief Russell Moore. The program offers pastors and small groups a curriculum reframing Christian political identity from today's divisive partisan options. According to Alberta, during its germination phase, the project hit a roadblock. Evangelical donors had little interest in funding an explicitly political Bible study. Thus, to get the After Party off the ground, the trio, all frequent critics of evangelicals who voted for Donald Trump, turned to predominantly progressive unbelievers. In fact, they turned to secular left-wing foundations. Continue. Alberta's book offers no details about the funding of the project, but a bit of internet sleuthing reveals that in May 2022, Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors announced that the After Party would be one of the 32 beneficiaries of their new Pluralist Project, which is investing $10 million to address divisive forces in America. If that money were divided evenly, it would more than cover the $250,000 budget of Chang's umbrella organization, Redeeming Babel, which is behind the After Party. While Chang and company claim their program isn't focused on parties or policies, the Rockefeller announcement noted it would launch in the battleground of Ohio, though none of the After Party founders call that state home. So this new curriculum that's being passed out in churches is funded by the Rockefeller Group. You don't have to know much. I'm not even going to insult your intelligence to ask you, do you feel like the Rockefeller Group's pro-Christian or not? Where is the curriculum your church is using coming from? Continue. Does anyone really believe these secular progressive grant makers are interested in developing a church curriculum about politics without an eye toward affecting policy? Or that this curriculum will strengthen evangelicals' commitment to the very causes progressives despise? Between 2013 and 2014, the Ford, Rockefeller, and Tides Foundations contributed a combined $1.3 million to the Evangelical Immigration Table's Bibles, Badges, and Business Initiative, launched to mobilize evangelical support for amnesty legislation such as the failed Gang of Eight bill. Hewlett and a host of other major left-wing donors bankrolled the Evangelical Environment Network's Evangelical Climate Initiative with the aim of generating churchgoer support for cap-and-trade legislation. Secular progressive foundations have not hesitated to leverage new evangelical ministries to sway Christians to their political will. Continue. I think we got it. Next. This film suggests adhering to conservative Christian views is bad enough, but any attempt at securing political representation to enact them is presumably dangerous and even idolatrous, evincing what Moore describes as valorization of power itself. Here's a new article or a new movie out by Rob Reiner, you know, major liberal, God and country, how Christians have idolized Trump. Watch how many times you've heard that and you're going to hear it coming up to the election. These evangelicals have made Trump their God. You never hear any criticism about any Christian that wants to vote for Biden. But if you vote for Trump, you can't do that without you've made him your God. Continue. So there's a new movie out. They're going to make you, you're a Christian nationalist if you're for closed borders. You know, you're like a terrorist. That's how they're trying to brand you. Next. It's wild how many well-known evangelicals decrying Christian nationalism are entangled with secular organizations who have pushed particular political aims into the church. Evangelical immigration table, creation care, etc. Shamelessness of its kind blows my mind. It's wild how many well-known evangelicals speaking out against Christian nationalism are entangled with secular organizations that push particular political aims into the church. Keep an eye out for it. Next. Evangelicals rally for pathway to citizenship and immigration reform. This is 2013. Why are we having this crisis at the border? You had major evangelical leaders all sign off on it. They want you to forget about it now, but this is where it happened. Next. Was there an article with that? Okay. We desperately need comprehensive immigration reform. This is 2013. So what we're seeing now started 11 years ago. We desperately need comprehensive immigration reform. Richard Land, a prominent Southern Baptist leader, boomed to a packed church two blocks from the U.S. Capitol. Hundreds of evangelical leaders recently gathered in the nation's capital to take the message of comprehensive immigration reform from the pews in their churches to politicians in the Capitol. The day was organized as the Evangelical Day of Prayer and Action for Immigration Reform. They know where our steeples are, but they don't know where our hearts are. That is what we are here to change. David Uth, senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Orlando, told reporters at a press conference staged with the familiar dome as his backdrop. The Evangelical Immigration Table, a coalition of diverse evangelical leaders formed a couple of years ago to push immigration reform through a grassroots movement in churches across the country. See this? It's all documented. In their mission statement, they write, "Our national immigration laws have created a moral, economic, and political crisis in America." Back to me. Now look how it's done the exact opposite. You doing that has created a moral, economic, let me see, keep it up. I was reading it. A moral, economic, and political crisis in America. You have a lady that just got her head beat into death at the University of Georgia because of these policies. These leaders should have to answer. They are indirectly responsible for these deaths that are happening and are going to happen. I'll read the rest. Let me see the second page. I want you to get the picture of this guy, Richard Land, ready in his briefcase. In January, they launched a 40-day challenge encouraging churches to read what the Bible has to say on immigration. Specific verses about welcoming the stranger were read by churches in all 50 states. Back to me. I'm not going to read the whole thing. So when the Bible does tell us to welcome the stranger, you know what that means? When someone comes into the country legally, you don't say, "I'm not talking to you because you're from Venezuela or Nicaragua." What it does not mean, you cannot take those scriptures that it's unscriptural for a nation to have borders and immigration law. It is a plan to collapse the United States of America, and you had evangelical leaders sign up for it. Now, this guy, Richard Land, that was high up in the Southern Baptist Convention, look at what they photographed him with at the Southern Baptist Convention. This is a picture I found. Let me see him in his briefcase. Okay, I'll go back to it. Keep going. Let me see the next piece of media. Full screen. Pay attention. This is where all the mass illegal immigration has been heading over the past 10 years. the Department of Justice files a lawsuit against the state of Arizona for requiring voters to prove their U.S. citizenship. Roll it.
Some breaking news. The Department of Justice has filed a lawsuit against Arizona saying that the state is violating federal law by requiring voters to prove citizenship. The DOJ essentially claiming that proving you're an American citizen to vote in an American election is too much. Now, I'm taking this for the first time, and I want to make sure that's the case, because if it sounds crazy to you, it sounds crazy to me as well. So we'll continue to follow that story as it develops.
So, okay, and then here's that man that was saying the open borders thing. Zoom in on his briefcase. Oh, World Economic Forum. So when they found that, they said, where'd you get that briefcase? He said, I was invited to attend something, but I didn't have to sign anything to be a part of it. They found out, no, it was a closed group. You had to agree to promote Klaus Schwab and World Economic Forum initiatives as a religious leader to attend that. Where has all this liberal stuff come into the pulpit from? The leaders of the denominations are in bed with the World Economic Forum, George Soros, and whatever other group, the United Nations. There's the proof. Why do you have a Baptist leader telling people that are promoting open borders? We are at, I'm not overstating it. You can bring it back to me. We are at a crisis in this nation from the border being opened. It did not start under Biden. It started 2011? That they realized that churches, just like with the vaccination, churches would not get on board. So they paid leaders to break them down and get them on board. Do you have the video that I sent you where all the leaders read Matthew 25? I think it's a lot of it's in black and white. Now watch this. This is back then. Watch all the leaders that are part of this Soros-funded group read Matthew 25. Now, is there anything wrong with reading Matthew 25? Not in and of itself. But if I'm reading a scripture on how David and Jonathan had a love that surpassed the love of a woman, and I'm reading it for an LGBTQIA group, then there is a problem, because I'm being manipulated to promote something that's against the Bible. Hey, with all this talk about politicizing the church, did this campaign from the evangelical immigration table specifically put together to get evangelicals to back the Gang of Eight amnesty bill count? So remember, you're not supposed to be political as a church if it's conservative. But if you're going to push open borders and abortion and gay marriage, you can be as political as you want. Roll it. Look who's on it.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory,
Max Lucado,
all the angels with him,
he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nation will be gathered before him.
And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
He'll put the sheep on the right, the goats.
Head of the Wesleyan Church.
Then the king will say to those on his right,
Willow Creek Pastor Bill Hybels,
you are blessed by my father.
Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
President of Fuller Theological Seminary, prestigious. He went to Fuller. Yeah. Go ahead.
For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink.
I was a
pause. Sammy Rodriguez, National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Continue.
I was a stranger. Fui extranjero y me invitaron a su hogar.
I was a stranger and you invited me in.
Holy moly.
I needed clothes and you clothed me.
I was sick and you visited.
There he is. Pause.
I was in prison.
President
came to me.
Can you pause it?
The righteous will answer him.
Back it up 5 seconds. President, Southern Baptist Convention, Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. So way up in the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, I hope my audience is mature enough to go, why are you attacking Baptists? I'm not attacking a Baptist. I'm attacking that specific Baptist. Just like when the Pope does the same thing, I'm not attacking Catholics. But you have a bad Pope right now. And this guy, that's the guy that had the briefcase from the World Economic Forum. And now we know why. Look what he's promoting. With his prestigious college up there in the corner. Continue.
I was in prison, and you came to me.
And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you?
Or thirsty and give you drink? And when
Wheaton College,
a stranger and welcome you
in, or needing clothes.
Pause.
And clothes.
George Wood, General and Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, they're on board. The new superintendent is still on, I'll show you on the website, he still sits there. So if you feel like the Assemblies of God has felt compromised recently, that's why. Continue.
You. When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?
The king will reply, truly I tell you,
whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of
another Hispanic sellout to get the Hispanics
then
on board.
He will turn to those on his left and say, depart from me, you who are cursed.
Pause.
Into the
to use this scripture like it's for immigration. I was sick, I was in prison, I didn't are there no sick people in America? There's no we have no prisoners, we need to import them in order to fulfill the scripture. Continue.
Eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
For I was hungry, and you gave me no food.
I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink.
I was a stranger, you did not invite me in.
I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me.
I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.
And then they also will answer, saying, Lord,
when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison?
He will reply, truly, I tell you,
whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.
And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Take the I was a stranger challenge, evangelicalimmigrationtable.com. That was promoted to churches to have curriculum to open the borders up. One of those guys in that video, and I'm not going to say who because I posted it on my Twitter, threatened to sue me for defamation if I didn't take it down, so I retweeted it and played it again today. And then second, sent a message to me. I have 40,000 pastors in my Rolodex. I could send one email and close a lot of doors for you in the ministry. To which I replied, do you have the owner of the Plaza Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas in your Rolodex? Because that's where I'm preaching next week. See, I operate outside of the system, and I've done it on purpose. My Bible college operates outside of that. We don't have state accreditation because we can't. I don't want it. I don't want to be in bed with them. Just so you know. What else did Megan put on that that tweet that she put? It came with curriculum to challenge your church and eventually your legislatures. So it was your legislators. So it was showing you, take the I was a stranger challenge. Let me see it up close. Challenge yourself, challenge your church, challenge your campus, mobilize your campus to take the challenge through the G92 movement. Challenge your legislators. Meet with your legislators to ask them to participate in the challenge, allowing scripture to inform their thinking. So they manipulate the Bible that the Bible promotes open borders. Next. This work is still going on today. Job posting for EIT's Bibles, Badges, and Businesses program. Read some of the job duties about recruiting at least 5 pastors per month and connecting them to legislators. Is that politicizing the church, or does that only happen when Charlie Kirk holds a pastor's conference? So notice that. If Charlie Kirk speaks at a church event to pastors, oh, they're right-wing Christian nationalists. But if a group does this to promote liberal stuff, you never hear a word about it. Let me see, if you would, my last Instagram post, if you would get that ready, I'm going to put that up, not right away. But let me see the website I told you that I wanted to be able to scroll to show you who's on it now. Okay, here's that group's still up. This is their website right now, Evangelical Immigration Table. And then who's on it? National Signatories? Go up to the top menu. I found it this morning. Let me see what you have to click on. Is that it? National Signatories? Pastors. Do leadership organizations. Oh, it's just that? other denominational network leaders. Scroll down. Where are we? There's the list for you to look at. What's the guy's name? Let me see pastors. So you got a bunch. Go up. Let me see the list again. The list you can click on. There's pastors, other denominational leaders. Go up further. Let me see leaders of evangelical denominations. Leaders of denominations. So here's all the denominations that are on. There's Doug Clay, General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, that's a part of this to open the borders. Now, he may not know what it is, but he's on it. You're not going to find my name on there. What other denominations? Bunch of them. So you can scroll this in your own time. Wesleyan Church, Baptist Convention, Christian Missionary Alliance, Vineyard. George Wood, who's deceased. So the Assemblies of God is in bed with them. I don't see Church of God. I might have missed it. Go up again to the top. All the way. What was the universities? Yeah, seminaries, universities and seminaries. Up. It's the fourth one. There's all the universities. Wheaton, Trinity Christian College, Asbury Seminary. I'll tell you who's not on there. Revival Today Bible Institute. You should know where you're sending your kids. Jenny said, what's the name of this site? Scroll to the top. All the way. Evangelical Immigration Table. It's their main site. Next. This was one of my favorite interactions of all time. Still trying to find the part in the Bible where love demands we lock our doors for the sake of others. So when's this from? 2017. It was when Trump just got elected. People like Joel Houston from Hillsongs, every young, cool evangelical preacher or worship leader was talking about open borders and how we need to take care of the least of these. So they're not smart people. They should stick to art. Still trying to find the part in the Bible where love demands we lock our doors for the sake of others. My Uncle Ted had no idea who he was. And just, it popped up in his feed, and he wrote, start with Noah's Ark. Next. Critical immigration. So this is where we just came from in El Paso. This is what's going on right now. Roll it. That's where I was 24 hours ago. And just so you know, if you support open borders, you support human trafficking. Walls don't work, but I noticed they're not going to the walled part. Next. New liberal online harms bill to make online. I'll deal with that another time. I might do a whole program on that. Next. How to create Christian globalists. George Soros Open Society Foundations donates $2.5 million to NIF. NIF establishes the Evangelical Immigration Forum, EIT, meant to change Christian perspectives on immigration, is launched. And Russell Moore from the Southern Baptist Church now speaks for them. Michael O'Fallon breaking down where the money flows with the documentation. Next. If you've wondered what illegal immigration, the abandonment of law enforcement, and the restructuring of our nation is connected, look no further than George Soros and Open Society Foundations. Next. Here's Nikki Haley's immigration policy from before this was, you're probably not going to hear her say this now. Roll it.
When it comes to legal immigration, it's a broken system. It shouldn't take someone 10 years to become a citizen. So, but what we need to do is reform it. So for too long, Republican and Democrat presidents dealt with immigration based on a quota. We'll take X number this year. We'll take X number next year. The debate is on the number. It's the wrong way to look at it. We need to do it based on merit. We need to go to our industries and say, what do you need that you don't have? So think agriculture, think tourism, think tech. We want the talent that's going to make us better. Then you bring people in that can fill those needs.
Yeah, but it never works that way. Try bringing a Swiss engineer into the country to help you with your business. If you're trying to bring anybody that can help the country, it does take 10 years. Next. If you think back over the past 10 years, the recent scandal perpetrated by Richard Moore is using, or Dr. Moore, is it Richard or am I confusing him with the guy from the river? I can't remember. I think it's Richard. Is using nearly the exact same pattern as all of Russell's other crusades. Next. Next. Pro-amnesty Christian groups receiving $1 billion from feds doubled down for Syrian refugees. So remember, originally it was Syria. Let me see the article. Go to the headline again. What do you do if you're a Lutheran church and you have 13 people on Sunday and your average attendance in your church is 38 across the country, 52, 41, some denominations 23 is their average attendance in their churches now. Yeah, you're either going to go under or you need money from the outside. So there's $1 billion. The federal government's happy to step in and pay churches to do what they want them to do. I'll read a little bit of the article. You understand, I realize this is a lot of tedious information, but you can't just throw out accusations without showing people how it happened. The Evangelical Immigration Table, a George Soros finance group of far-left activists and evangelical leaders, released a 6-point appeal today calling on Congress to bring even more Syrian and other refugees to the U.S. So there it is from back then. The letter was introduced to journalists at a conference call organized by Jenny Yang from World Relief, one of five Christian nonprofit voluntary agencies receiving massive payments from the federal government to resettle refugees. So they decided... Since they decided to not fulfill the Great Commission anymore and the money dried up, they decided to become human traffickers, basically, is what these denominations have done. Next. Please remember that this immigration debacle was made possible by shills like Sammy Rodriguez criticizing Trump's effort to control the border and praising Nancy Pelosi's prophetic, Holy Spirit-inspired leadership. Read the quote yourself. Also, if you closed your church down at the behest of Governor Newsom in March 2020, kindly be quiet about how Christians should stand up. Okay, let me see the pictures. After praying at his inauguration, pastor splits with Trump over immigration views. Reverend Samuel Rodriguez of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference prayed at the inauguration. Now NPR's Mikhail Martin asks how he talks to his church about Trump's immigration views. Next picture. America is better for your prophetic leadership. The Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, president of National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, told Nancy Pelosi at an afternoon news conference attended by the leaders. I'm going to read that again. Quote, America is better for your prophetic leadership. Now, if you want to say you never said that, then instead of threatening me, you should talk to the newspaper that printed it. I'm reading what's in public news. America is better for your prophetic leadership, said the Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, told Nancy Pelosi at an afternoon news conference attended by the leaders of at least a dozen young dreamers, a group of some 700,000 young undocumented immigrants who fall under a program called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. Well, he's on that board. So if you're getting paid by Soros, then you call Nancy, you thank Nancy Pelosi for her prophetic leadership. And again, the whole country's been so feminized. If you say so, people say, why don't you like him? This has nothing to do with who I like and don't like. I'm telling you why we're in the crisis we're in right now, and I'm telling you things that happened. And until you apologize, don't get up on stage and act like you're Captain America. We need to get this solved. You're the problem. That wasn't 1983. That was 2018. That's not even 6 years ago. Next. And these are just the names you know. So they're talking about all these people who have died. They were devastated by the acts of these strangers. And they will tell you groups like the Evangelical Immigration Table have never reached out to them to learn more about the losses so many Americans have suffered because of our lax immigration policies. You notice that? All these groups go silent when the strangers we've allowed in kill their children. Next. Keep going. What's this? What Rachel's talking about here is how NGOs, often branded as religious, facilitate illegal immigration with taxpayer money. You can get a quick but in-depth understanding of this issue from this 20-minute episode. Last night, I found and walked into a secret hotel housing illegal immigrants in Tucson. Instant panic ensued. Here's what's happened. So now you're having church groups that are getting federal money. They're aiding in the human trafficking when it comes to the American end. Catholic charities, evangelical churches house immigrants, you know, under the guise of we're helping. You're not helping. You're helping human traffickers. And you're helping break down your nation. Roll it.
What you're seeing is basically an unmarked building. All signage is removed. That's the first sign you know that this is an NGO, a non-governmental organization, in this case, Casa Alitas, who is housing illegal immigrants. Let's go inside to see what happens.
Trying to rent a room?
Oh, no, we don't rent rooms.
Why? Is this a hotel?
Can you guys get off the property, please?
Is this not a hotel?
Can you please exit the property? It's private property.
Whose private property? There's no name outside?
Can you please have them exit the building?
What's the problem? But is this where illegals are being housed with government funding?
Can you please get off our property? All of you, please, or I'm going to call the police.
Please call them.
Call them.
Yeah, hi, what is this?
You need to leave, please.
But I need to know what it is. Oh, Casa Alitas. This is Casa. Please. This is an NGO paid for by government money.
We're not going to answer any of your questions.
Just, can you explain what you do here?
No.
Why so much secrecy? You know, that's what the American people want to understand. What's happening here? Why?
So I'll just wait with you here.
Who is this lady? The reporter.
¿Podemos hablar? Tú puedes hablar con nosotros si quieres.
Yeah. No, sorry, bud.
Huh?
You guys cannot come into our shelter.
To be seen, directions to a hotel, okay. The aeropuerto.
We need to get our computers. Yes. Okay, I will. Because honestly,
what's her name? Let me see her part. Rachel Campos Duffy. I'm probably gonna follow her. Next. Let me read this. How many more media left? This is it? The Christian nationalism debate was always a scam, which is why as someone who by God's grace has one of the largest audiences of Bible-believing Christians in the country, this is Steve D. Stocken, however you say his last name, should change it. I never bothered to wade into it. Instead, I waited for those provoking it to reveal their true purpose for doing so. And it finally happened last week. The spirit of the age offers no forgiveness. It only demands your compliance. First, Politico published an unintentional self-parody. How many slides? Expressing incredulity that Christian nationalists believe in such fantastical things as natural law, or what American founders called the laws of nature and of nature's God. In the Declaration of Independence, the Spirit of the Age website also confidently claimed that natural law had recently gained in popularity in just the last few decades, which is probably news to Thomas Aquinas, who was writing about such things in works like Summa Theologiae, published all the way back in 1265. Continue. I guess time is now like gender and fluid as well. Anyhow, clearly not one to be bashful about displaying their invincible ignorance, as one so often does these godforsaken days, the co-author of that thinkless piece proudly appeared on the television asylum known as MSNBC. Why? To announce that one sure way to tell if someone bears the mark of a Christian nationalist is whether the person believes our rights come from God and not government. And there it is. If you've actually read and understood the mission statement of America, that our rights come from God and not government, found in the aforementioned Declaration of Independence, you are a Christian nationalist. Thus, anyone who is a sincere Christian, an honest student of American history, who understands our cultural heritage, is a menace to society, according to the spirit of the age. That's what this entire sham non-debate was about all along. The end? One more. It was always about slandering the brethren. And sadly, too many of the brethren fell for it and divided themselves over it. We do this because we deeply desire acceptance from this world more than we pursue devotion to its creator. So we really need the people who hate us and would smash our stained glass windows without blushing to know we're not like those kinds of Christians. We don't like them either. Please don't lump us in with those knuckle draggers. And by golly, how was your simping for the spirit of the age received by its beneficiary? It went ahead and lumped you in with the rest of us nevertheless. Thank you very much. So please graciously accept your cultural potter's field. You self-proclaim more enlightened types, for you have received your reward in full. As my colleague Aaron McIntyre recently said on my show, this was always a cynical and demonic ploy to rebrand Christianity with white nationalism. 85% of white evangelicals voted for Donald Trump in 2020. In 2016, white evangelicals were 20% of the overall electorate, and they voted for Trump by a whopping margin of 78-16. This is a vital base for Republicans, one that Democrats have no chance of winning. This means Democrats have nothing to lose and everything to gain by smearing voters Republicans require that they cannot acquire. And that's it. So I hope that clears things up for you. I hope, number one, if you have a student that's called into the ministry or feels the call of God on your life, you will second guess blindly sending them to a Christian university. I hope, number two, you realize why we're in that many evangelical leaders who you may like are directly responsible for the crisis that we're in right now that's now resulting in the deaths of people. And by the way, 24 hours ago, I was at that border in El Paso. And the wave of migrants right now are Venezuelans. And because of the collapse of Venezuela, they said the men see stealing and murder. If someone has something you need, you take it, because that's what Venezuela turned into. That's what happens here and is happening here. So you're going to have more of that. And the people that made it happen should at least apologize and not just pretend it never happened and threaten to sue anybody that brings it up. And I hope, lastly, that this will add to the strength you already had of not caring if Joy Reid or CNN or MSNBC brands you, or Stephen Colbert. What do you care what any of these people think? If they define you as a, quote, I am a Christian and I'm for America. I'm not for America's enemies overrunning the country, and I'm not for the dissolution of this country so we can go under a globalist regime that the Bible tells you is not going to work out well. There's a reason they want the church collapsed. There's a reason they want America collapsed. And we know the reason. And that reason alone should put a new strength in you to fight for this country and fight for the church. We don't want to get political. You're the problem. because they made it political. If you went to a church that just blindly put up pray for Ukraine because CNN said to, you should rethink some things. They never found the broken down by denomination, did they? The homosexuality thing? There it is. There it is. Good job, guys. This is Pew Research. Members of many Protestant denominations now more accepting homosexuality. And this is 2014. So how do you think it would be 10 years later? So 10 years ago, 26% of members, not attenders, members of the Assemblies of God felt homosexuality should be accepted as normal. Should be accepted by society. Church of God in Christ, 38%. African Methodist Episcopal Church, 61%. That's 10 years ago. Church of God is the best at 22%. Why is it spiking? Southern Baptist, 30. Evangelical Lutheran, 73%. Presbyterian Church, USA, 65%. It would be way more now. Church of Christ, 82%. I mean, who's in charge of the over at the United Church of Christ? The executives from the Bravo Network? It's Jeffree Star, your general superintendent. How did you get it to 82%? So there it is, my friend. So I'm showing that. How did that happen? Why is it spiking? I hope in the hour in 20 minutes I've had with you, I've laid out for you where you understand why things are heading in the direction they're in. It's not just that churches have thrown their Bible out the window. It's their Bible colleges are liberal, communist indoctrination centers. Critical race theory on down the line. And what Steve Deese wrote in that article is true. For some reason, from the time you can put me full screen again. From the time I was little, Christians have been obsessed with being accepted by the world, getting on Oprah, having your Christian music be in the Grammys instead of the Dove Awards, just obsessed with being invited to a Hollywood party. I don't get it. As if it's the mark of your ministry. But you can see things are swinging back the other direction now. And so don't be ashamed for being a Christian who loves America and is not willing to see America sabotaged to the delight of her domestic enemies. And many of you that are watching this need to rethink where you go to church. I want to send this book that I read one chapter of, Understanding the World in Light of Bible Prophecy, to everybody watching. I want to show you something we're doing. Can you put the picture up of the people at the altar at the border? That's the altar call. They 100% of the people responded to receive Jesus Christ that were dropped off by Department of Homeland Security at this church. They spend the night there, they get food, but they heard, I listened to the lady preach. She preached a powerful message. Those young teenagers had their hands lifted, crying under the anointing. I'm telling you, it was powerful. And we are going to pay the lease on her church every month. They do that every night. That's the pastor, and that's me telling her. I asked her how much the lease is on her church. It's just under $3,200. We're sending $3,200 a month. We sent $6,400 out yesterday so she can be 1 month ahead. She cried her eyes out. So we sent the money. If you would like to get in on that with me and take care of 1 month, if you would like to take care of the whole $35,000, that church is not helping the people come into the country, but since they're already there and they're overrun, they're having them drop them off at their church and preaching the gospel to every one of them, which is a great response. So I can't do that from Pittsburgh, but I can find someone that's already doing a great job and get involved in it, and that's what we're going to do. Everybody that sows a seed of any size, I'm going to send you this book. Anyone that does 25, I'd say 10,000 or more, I'll sign it. As a way, as an extra way of saying thank you. I want everybody to be in these meetings this week. Very important for our church. Scroll down a little on the comment. The guy that asked about Ukraine. What you said is exactly right. It was to get people to be okay with emptying the federal treasury into the Ukraine. Alex Small, you nailed it. That's why nobody opposed it for 2 years, because their pastors were telling them, we pray for Ukraine. Like, it's the worst thing. You know, no understanding of anything that's happening. But that's why I want you to have this. If you can see the world in light of Bible prophecy, you get it. You get why Modelo Beer has commercials about how when Jose worked in the fields, he never saw any borders. Why all this move to get people to accept no borders? One world government. Here's the ways to give. RevivalToday.com. You click Give Now. Cash App, $RT Give. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for being part of a record-setting year. By the way, I want to say this, just to, so the devil can hear me. You want to know why I speak the way I do? I don't get my money from an outside source. And we are now in the top 2% financially of all nonprofits in the United States. So we get our money from the anointing. We do it the Bible way, where people, real Christians, sow, receive a harvest, and continue to sow. And so we do this the Bible way. I don't have to go to a meeting in Switzerland and ask some demons to have some money to promote their agendas to keep my ministry going. Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. I'd like you to ask the Lord, we'd have you to give today and do that. Today's a good day to go in the other direction. All the devil's plans are going to backfire this year. I firmly believe that. Send you our new magazine and our new book. Thank you for your giving. RevivalToday.com, click Give Now. Make sure you also do the second thing, RevivalToday.com, and click Claim My Offer.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.